This is Ask the Investigator, the podcast that navigates the high seas of professional investigation, gives the warning signs of when it's time to stop being your own Dick Tracy and call a professional, and offers tips on what to do before making that call to help your cause. Now, here's your host, Ken Cummins.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the initial podcast of Ask the Investigator. That was the band Bowman's Prendon that was doing our background music there. I am a former journalist on sabbatical and have been an investigator for 30 years and managed my own company for most of that time. I will be your host on this voyage each week. Joining me will be Christian Duvall, my right-hand man, who's sitting on the right hand of me right now, and he's been with me on many of our adventures together. Hello, Christian.
Hello.
You always say that you enjoy being an investigator, a private investigator. Why do you? What is it you like about it?
Well, what I like about it is no day was ever the same. It could be one day hopping on a plane, going to Mexico to a prison or to interview an inmate, or it could be wearing a mask and conducting a surveillance, following individuals throughout the city, or going to a crime scene and gather fingerprints. And no day was the same. It was a lot of action, and I absolutely loved it.
Okay, well, we'll get more into those stories in a little bit, but now on my left side, and with us each week, will be Tish Few, who was an excellent surveillance investigator for me for a period. She's now in the corporate world, but she's going to be with us every week to keep us on topic, on target, and on time. Hello, Tish.
Hello, Ken. Since I'm your co-host in this adventure, yes. Let's start with the first question.
Okay.
All right, so what type of investigations are the most common?
Well, I would say for us, the most common is background investigations. We do, because that can be a part of litigation support, that can be part of mergers and acquisitions, can be pre-employment, you know, you really got to know the background of your partners. Maybe you've met somebody at a bar you think you want to marry, but you don't know if this person is telling you the truth. Background investigation would be the most common, and I want to say at the outset here, there are two types of investigators, licensed and unlicensed, and you do not want to hire an unlicensed investigator because licensed, we're vetted, we've got the proper insurance, we've met all the regulation requirements, and if you hire an unlicensed one, you're going to end up with a cowboy who may do anything and cause you more problems than he actually helps you.
And I would also add that being licensed gives you the advantage, it gives you credibility when you testify in court or when you're involved in court proceedings. We know how to maintain a chain of custody. We know how to acquire information legally so that it's admissible in a court of law.
Let's get a little bit into criminal investigations. Christian, you talked about Mexico earlier. If you can just give us some background on what happened in that case.
Well, it was a one of the biggest international drug cartel investigations in one of these U.S. cities' history, and it involved going to Mexico to a prison, and a very dangerous prison where a few years ago guards had been overtaken, walls had been blown up, and prisoners had escaped. So it was housing some quite dangerous individuals. And I had to enter the prison and interview an inmate. And when you enter a Mexican prison, it's not as in a U.S. prison where you are under protection of correctional officers and you might have a glass or... I was actually in the middle of the courtyard surrounded by inmates. And, you know, I asked to speak to such and such, and say, yes, he's actually in his cell currently cooking.
Yeah.
That implies he probably has access to knives and, you know, all
so
sorts
he's cooking
of,
food.
Cooking food, okay. Exactly.
Not drugs.
Not cooking drugs. Okay, I didn't know.
Or he could have been, for all I know.
That's a good point. This was a criminal defense case where we were hired by the attorneys for the defendant who'd been arrested and extradited from Mexico to here. In the criminal defense, the government has all its resources on one side, and the defendant only has what they can afford privately or what their attorneys can arrange. And we were, one of our main tasks was to find out where the information about this guy came from, who the sources were, what their motives, what kind of deals they got, et cetera. So it was quite an interesting case.
Now, Ken, can you tell us a little bit about serving?
Subpoenas. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, this is actually one of the most dangerous areas, I think, in in private investigations, and where you got to serve a subpoena if it's a criminal case, summons if it's a civil case, and the case won't go forward if you cannot effect service of process. It's the thing that the attorneys always want to pay the least for, but if you don't get it done, your case is thrown out of court. And in these instances, we've had people pull guns on us, threaten to get into fights. So I don't really consider private investigations work, what we do, to be that dangerous, but our most dangerous times and most difficult spots have been when serving subpoenas.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I had a story where we had to serve a very high-level executive of an international organization, and he had evaded service, and we tried to finally intercept it as he was pulling into his garage, and he had bodyguards and a chauffeur, and so one of my investigators got right in front of the car to try to stop it, and the car almost ran him over. So he actually stuck the papers on the handle of the car. And wow. So you'll have people who are in very desperate situations, who are desperate not to pay or not to be involved in a lawsuit, and they'll do whatever it takes to evade. I mean, I remember another day when I was on a utility pole wearing a construction worker helmet and pretending to be working on a pole when, in fact, I was looking at the residence of a suspect, and he actually crawled like a snake trying to escape and evade us. So people will get very creative.
And then you had the incident in the neighborhood over here.
That's right. I was in one of the neighborhoods there in Washington, D.C., and I was in a bright car, which was with Virginia tags, which was not the best move, and they noticed that I did not belong in the neighborhood, and I had projectiles thrown on the car, and then I had individuals approach me saying it was going to get really hot for me unless I left, so... Yes, it can be quite dangerous.
That's so, definitely one of the things with surveillance. You have to blend in. So I'm sure you guys then pushed a lot more people out into the street and handled that case.
Oh, yeah.
Well, usually what we would do is we look at the type of neighborhoods we're going to. Then we're going to get a car that matches the type of cars which are parked in the neighborhood. And we will try to remain as inconspicuous as we can. However, in that case, we rented a car, and that was the only rental car available. It was a bright blue car with Virginia tags. I stuck out.
Yeah.
I want to tell one more story about serving, because this is my favorite. There was a businessman who had a big judgment against him, a lawsuit where he would end up with a big judgment against him, and he fled to the Congo. But we got word that he was coming back when the president of Congo came here to visit, that he was going to be part of his entourage surrounded by the president's security. And I managed to finagle my way into a speech that the president was giving at the Mayflower Hotel. And I saw the guy walk out the side door after the speech was ended, and he went into a private elevator to go up. And I just managed to run out the front door and run around to the side, and here he was come walking down the sidewalk. And so I addressed him, and he said, yes. And then I said, you've been served. And he turned around at that time, and I put the papers on his shoulder, and he flipped them back over. And I caught him and chased him to the car. Well, the driver thought that we were both running to get into the car, so he held the car door open for me, and I threw in the papers and said, you've been served, and then walked away.
That's hilarious. Well, let's transition a little bit. Let's talk about when individuals hire investigators, what do they hire them for? Individuals meaning private citizens.
Private citizens, well, usually that's what we call domestic cases. That's usually cheating partner, cheating spouse, you know, their husband or the wife's going to be in D.C. for a conference. They found something on the cell phone, some text or something that indicates there's something going on, and they want us to get to the bottom of that, of what it is. And that mostly involves surveillance. But asset searchers, which we're going to talk about more, or collecting on your court judgments, which we're going to talk about more in this show. That's a common one, too, where they go to court, they sue somebody, and they get a judgment, and then they say, now what I do? And, you know, it's up to them to find the assets and to collect on it, and that's a difficult thing. And then, of course, what you mentioned earlier, background investigations. If you're hiring a nanny, you're hiring a construction company to renovate your house, you've got a business, you're hiring a new employee, you want to go and partner with somebody in a business arrangement, you want to... check them out first. You're going to mergers, acquisitions. So I'd say those are pretty common, and those can stretch from just, you know, the person looking for a criminal background check on an individual that's going to be in their household, up to a company wanting to hire a top-level executive.
I would add skip traces. Skip traces locating individuals as well. And I would also add, we've had quite a few adoption cases where people wanted us to identify and locate their parent, sister, brother. We've had quite a few of those as well.
Okay. Well, today's episode is dedicated to asset recovery.
Yes.
So, Christian, can you tell us a little bit about asset searches before you have a judgment?
Well, absolutely. So, usually asset searches involve individuals who wish to settle personal injury cases, collect debt. It could be a child support case or divorce case. And there are several stages. There's a prejudgment, and the prejudgment of an asset search is when we have to identify the assets that could be seized in a potential lawsuit, right? What we want to make sure is, for the defendant wants to make sure, is it worth pursuing or suing an individual? Are there assets? Is it, because a lawsuit is expensive. It costs a lot of money. And then you have collecting on a judgment, and that's once the court has issued a default order or judgment. Unfortunately, it's up to the creditor to collect on the debt, even though there's a judgment. And in this case, you have different types of assets that we'll look at. We'll look at what you call tangible personal property assets, and that could be real properties, that could be financial accounts, meaning bank accounts, stocks, bonds, etc. Mm-hmm. And then you have personal property that includes aircraft, watercraft, cars, RVs, and...
Yeah, one of the most common things we get are from attorneys who, you know, they've got a client who was in a car accident, which wasn't their fault. They've got $100,000 in medical bills, and they've got a $40,000 insurance policy on the table, and they want to know, do they have to take this policy, or is there something else out there? And so, you know, we do what we call the quick, basic asset search. We see that the driver is a 29-year-old who lives in his parents' basement and drives a 1993 Honda Civic, saying, no, there are no assets there. We can pretty much assure you of that. But if we find that the driver is a 43-year-old businessman, and he's got some real estate, you know, he owns his own house, and he owns a beach house, and he owns property somewhere else, then it's worth continuing the search.
Interesting. I mean, I know there's also situations where you can garnish wages.
Yeah. That's one. Well, that's collecting. And, you know, as you'll hear from our guest, she got a judgment, but that, you know, the easiest thing to do is to get the judgment. The hardest thing to do is to collect it, and that can take years. So I would say right now we're in an era where we're getting a lot of sexual harassment cases, going back to different type of cases. That's the flavor of the month right now. And we're going to do an entire episode on that because right now there really is no definition of what is sexual harassment. And then we get some political cases. People want to know, you know, we got a new administration in town, which is appointing people nobody ever heard of before. And lobbyists wanted us to find out, who are these people? What is their background? How do we approach them? Anytime you need information or you're trying to find somebody, that's when an investigator can be a valuable help to you. And until next time.
You've been listening to Ask the Investigator. Send your comments, questions, and suggestions to askinvestigator@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at #AskInvestigator. Thanks for tuning in.